Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Junks Radio, need an update on Money Metal Cake's face / cheek blemish. It's gotten darker every day this week. And I went to the dermatologist, and this is the result of cryotherapy. Of the,
they,
you know,
froze it.
Yeah, so the
there's
wart.
Two things. One is
the wart
one
is gone.
Was a tag.
Yeah, one was a hurt. It was a wart. This
was
a wart. And this is a cyst.
Oh.
So he just said, well, we can either like cut them off or freeze them off. So I was like, well, let's do the freezing portion.
Well, which one leaves less of a scar is what I would have asked.
Freezing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I chose that option.
Right.
So it's just short-term hurtingness.
So eventually those marks will go away?
Yeah, they'll be gone, but scab up after the the cryotherapy.
Did you ask him why I'm having all of these horrific lesions growing on my face?
I just said, please eliminate
them. One would think that you would ask.
Petri dish for...
I mean, people get warts sometimes. I just happen to get one on my face.
I know, but there might be something that you're doing.
Dermatitis, all
there
the
might
things.
Be something that you're doing that is leading to it happening more frequently.
Maybe.
You
I
have
don't know.
No curiosity.
No.
I just want it gone.
My wife is the same way.
I want it gone from my face.
It just happens to you a lot more frequently than anyone else.
It does.
Okay, well, I haven't had this weird outbreak in years, and this is like an... Well,
I mean, I don't...
No,
I didn't have a hurt to go over here.
Yeah.
That had to be removed.
What was that one?
I can't even remember.
I don't know that this is the case, but what if they said, well, this often happens to people who are allergic to fill in the blank?
Yeah.
You probably would have told him that.
The doctor should have offered me up that information.
Cakes
I shouldn't
is
have
good.
To ask.
Yeah, he's happy, sort of living in ignorance and not knowing. And that's a great way to be, because I would be probing. I'd be like, well, why is this happening? Am I dying?
Look, as long as he didn't say, that's cancerous, or we have to do a biopsy, really care.
I'll give you credit, because at least you went to the doctor to do something about it. Not that I would go to a doctor for this, but the last 6 months to a year, and I do think it's probably related to the ACL, I get the worst foot cramps. I never, ever in my life had foot cramps. And all of a sudden, my foot it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
And it can even happen like driving, which
well,
is the
probably,
worst.
Are you freaking dehydrated?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I probably drink more water than ever before.
That's what
my wife says every time. Oh, you need to drink water. You need to drink water. I'm like, just drink water.
Yeah, but just drink
water. Do you retort that enough. Water is generally boring?
Water.
It is boring. Unless it's flavored.
But Cakes, if my face looked like that, I probably wouldn't leave the house.
Well, I mean, you do you. Again, it's my life.
I'm just kidding.
Am I going to call Chris and say, I can't do the show this week because my face is
hideous? I wanted to get a cheap, well, other than going to work.
But didn't you have a hurting on your face?
Don't go to dinner anywhere this weekend.
Well, hey, I have an appearance tomorrow.
Yeah, didn't you have something going on in your face, your ear, for a while?
He had something. You had some skin tag or something.
Oh, sure.
No. Remember, he had something he had to get checked. He just had a mole he had to get checked or something.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was skin cancer.
Yeah.
It turned out to be.
Right.
Just hurting skin. Hurting skin. Yeah.
Maybe I'll have my wife throw some makeup on it before I go out in public
just
tomorrow.
Just be like Bucky in the porno. Just wear a mask.
Just wear a mask.
Yeah.
Wear a ski mask everywhere you go.
But how about you blackface it? Because that's going over.
Yeah, come on. Do the blackface.
Certainly not going to do that. Because that is. I mean, you're.
I can't
really
believe
the crosshairs.
I mean, it's just like every day there's a new person that has some sort of allegation in the state of Virginia. I don't even know what it was. So there's
got it now out of Maryland.
There's
now.
Like the governor.
Yeah.
There's
oh my God.
The attorney general, and then there's somebody else in the legislature who apparently didn't have the pictures, but was the editor of a yearbook that had nothing but racist pictures.
Right. My state is a complete mess right
now.
Yeah,
what's going on in Virginia?
I don't know. That's all they're talking about.
And then you got the lieutenant governor who's
Justin Fairfax.
A show.
Yeah.
According to the allegations.
Yeah, it's he said, she said, but who knows?
Yeah. That's awful.
Pretty good state. Pretty good Commonwealth.
Not this week. It's not.
No. Not good to be a politician in Virginia in the last 7 to 10 days.
Of course, Jason probably couldn't have named any of those four politicians.
I didn't even know who the governor was.
Your life is better for it.
Yeah,
it's
I can't
way
get
better.
I can't get into that.
Who's the
way
last
better.
Governor you could name?
Of Virginia?
Yeah, because you named Northam's predecessor.
I might be able to, but it's a grasper.
I don't know.
I think, was it possible? That was a grasper. Terry McAuliffe?
McCullough.
Political expert case.
Yeah, there you go.
Wearing my political hat.
All right, so yesterday there was a big story was with Jeff Bezos.
Yes,
all right?
Correct.
And he's all over the news. And now the latest is it seems to indicate, and he has evidence to back it up, that the National Enquirer was basically trying to extort him to stop doing background research on why. Remember, he talked about he wanted to find out how we talked about it on the show yesterday. He had hired that Gavin DeBecker guy to be his private investigator.
Yeah, Boris's cousin.
And figure out how did these intimate private text messages get leaked out there?
Yeah.
I'm sure his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, is swearing to him that she didn't leak them.
Right. I'm sure that's believable.
Right. That's the first thing I would think is the slut gave it away.
By the way, if you're going to extort somebody, he's a good guy to extort. He's got a deep pockets.
Well, apparently not, because he basically one-upped them, and they have apparently, and JP has the description of it, they have 9 photos that they say would be a shame for any editor to have to publish.
Right.
And they go into detail of what each photo is. And
well, their letter to his lawyer was, here are proposed terms. So one of them is, you know, full complete mutual release, wants to feel, basically they wanted, you know, everything to remain confidential. And then they listed, you know, what they had on him. And actually, this story doesn't have the list, but it does include a full-length body selfie of Mr. Bezos wearing just a pair of tight black boxer briefs trunks, a naked selfie in a bathroom wearing nothing but a white towel. I think it included some pictures of Sanchez where it was, like, almost down to nothing.
Showing a lot of cleavage.
Another picture of him where he's got, like, his shirt off and exposing kind of the pubic region.
Of course.
It was nothing suggestive. But embarrassing.
See,
pictures.
He strikes me as a more suggestive guy.
Right.
What
are you doing? We've all been dumped this week.
Jiffy's losing his mind.
Yeah. It is on television.
Did you really think you were going to get away with that one?
I knew he was getting dumped.
All right.
There was just one of those.
Right. Right, because he's more suggestive.
Are you okay?
But I think Lauren Sanchez, she had one where she's very suggestive with her, like a lollipop.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Or whatever
I think
it was.
Maybe a cigar. It was a cigar.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Of course I know.
Yeah, right. So he's saying
it was like a political setup, and he's just not going to bow down to paying off.
Right. So instead, he just put it out there. This is what they have on me.
Right.
I would never agree or pay them.
So he re-raised them.
Oh, yeah. And now I'm sure he's going to seek some sort of legal recourse for that. That's basically extortion.
Yeah.
What they're trying
to
do.
What it sounds like.
Yeah.
Question is, are we going to get to see it?
At some point,
yes.
There's none of them that you really want to. I guess there's one where they said his thing is like half out there in one of them.
He's half sized.
He's like half sized in one. Most of them are very.
It was like a jeans picture.
They're just
like
horrifically
that.
Embarrassing, like on a towel where you like, you know, you probably see like some pubes or something awful.
Yeah. I mean, it's described as a full length body selfie of Mr. Bezos wearing just a pair of tight black boxer briefs.
But what's interesting is they say they followed him around. This is how loaded he is. I mean, obviously, he's the richest man in the world. They describe it. He basically came up with his own company just to hire her, like some fictitious company just to hire her. And then they followed those two around to 30 different countries where they were traveling. 30 different countries having their affair.
You know what? How about less traveling to 30 countries and more worrying about the stock price? Because I did the Jason bit and bought at the peak of Amazon. It's been nothing but losses.
Well, no,
is that
you're,
true?
You're not listening. It's the Enquirer was following him around to the 30 countries.
It's fine.
No, he said he didn't want to travel to the 30 countries.
I don't want Bezos traipsing off to Thailand and Singapore.
Well, how do you think he went from delivering Amazon himself to having all the employees and having all the barrier?
I don't know.
Because he did expand all those countries.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to tighten up shop. That's what he needs to do.
What they're suggesting,
as far as Amazon,
is that he came up with like a fictitious company, and they were just flying. They just acted like there was business.
Yeah, he just came up with a shell company.
Yeah, just so he could tag his chick.
Less of that. More book selling. I know. Trust
book
me.
Selling.
I know, they don't just sell books. Okay, I understand.
They do a lot.
They sell everything.
So my 9-year-old wanted to get me a gift.
Yeah,
it was like sweet, right? She's 9,
mm-hmm.
And so she got on her phone.
It's your money.
And she
you paid
went
for
to
it.
Amazon and just. I guess she wanted to get me a jacket.
Okay,
right, she's 9. She got me. And I'm gonna wear it. She got me an Amazon jacket.
Oh, is it an Amazon Basics?
Yeah, I've never heard of it before. I got it in the mail yesterday.
Amazon Basics is silly. I didn't know they were branching.
No, it's called Amazon Essentials.
Ah, Essentials.
But
okay.
It looks the same as
it looks like
mine's
all the others.
Black.
But I looked at it and went, oh, silly North Face.
So
and
does it have the Amazon logo on it?
It's an Amazon jacket.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's just generic. Like, why would you buy a real phone charger when you can buy an Amazon Essentials for like $3?
I didn't know they had their own company that
they've
did that.
They've got their own
They knock off
labels.
Everything. They knock off everything,
yeah.
Huh?
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
With the scale that they can sell it on?
Right.
Yeah. Makes all the sense in the world. Now get the share price up!
What did you buy it at? What did you buy it at?
Pretty high.
No, like, I'm honest.
I think I bought it like $18.50 per share.
All right, what is it now?
Now I bought 3 shares because right, I'm a little fish squeaker.
Yeah, right. But what is it now?
1,600-ish.
So it's lost 200.
250?
250.
Yeah, he's
per
down.
Per share?
He's down
750. Yeah, but what is that percentage-wise?
It's very small.
Yeah.
But it tilts me. Tilts me.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit. That's
day.
The kind of stock.
I don't look at it every day.
It.
Well, that's what you get for buying a $2,000 stock.
Not no, 2,000.
Well, pretty close.
They just swing more. You can get that back in a couple days.
Yeah.
A couple days.
No, you can. They swing more, those days.
Sounds like it's been a couple months or
yeah,
years.
It's been a few dry months.
Well, why? Well, how on earth is Amazon going in the wrong direction? What is there?
Because
it's overvalued.
What?
It was overvalued at its peak.
It'll catch up.
Because they saw that I made a giant 3-share purchase and then all right in the tank.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5, and he goes on nationally on Fox, and I heard him this morning, and he was talking about all the movies, I guess his top romantic movies, because Valentine's Day is coming up. And I would say at least half of the movies that you talked about, you've reenacted the scenes with your wife. Is that correct?
Yeah. Good morning, JP. JP! So I need to drop one of those on Fox and Friends one day. Just randomly in the middle of a segment, just drop JP.
No, you won't do it.
It's funny. Like, have you guys ever heard of, like, and JP, to answer your question, yeah, I did reenact a lot of those movies with my wife, but sometimes actors, what they'll do if they have, like, a long press day is they'll come up with a word that they have to drop into every interview randomly somehow just to see if, it like, anybody notices it. But I think if I was in the middle of a segment on Fox and Friends, I don't see why I couldn't just randomly drop JP and then just kind of move on.
I think you should do it.
I don't see why that would be a problem.
I just dare you to do it.
I think it would be really funny. So I'm just like in the middle of like a movie, and I'm like, JP, Chris Pratt's really good in this movie, or Elizabeth Banks. Yeah, I could do that. JP, can you guys give me the drop? I'll get them. I'll send them the drop for it, and they can like play it over and over again.
JP,
right, sure that's too much work.
So I had a question for you. Before you talk about, I guess, this
Lego movie.
He's
going to do Lego
that's
movie.
That's the only one.
And what? Men want.
Like my mom, yep. I met her for lunch yesterday, and she wanted to maybe see a movie together. I didn't even bother. Like, what would be a good movie to watch with your mom?
I actually think that Kevin Hart movie wouldn't have been bad.
The comedy?
Yeah. That's actually a great, I mean, JP, that's a great one. It's weird, like, I don't know, growing up, my mom would take me to anything I wanted to see. I remember seeing, like, There's Something About Mary with my mom, which was very awkward and things like that. I mean, Eric, you're an adult. I mean, I don't think... I mean, listen, it is strange watching certain things with your parents, of course. I'm sure that's going to be weird for you, Eric, when you watch certain things with your kids and R-rated movies and things like that. But, you know, Eric, it's interesting you bring that up because I have a question for you, and all you guys are parents, because growing up, when I used to watch R-rated movies, my parents were cool with the violence but not the sex stuff. And I always found that interesting. Like, I would watch True Lies, right? The movie True Lies, James Cameron's movie. And they would let me watch all the violence, all the gun violence. And then when Jamie Lee Curtis does her striptease sequence in her lingerie, they made me cover my eyes.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. Are you guys, as parents, is that something similar in your household? Like, are you cool with the violence but not the sexual stuff? I find that interesting.
I think it's weird. I think once I get to a certain age, they're going to be able to watch anything. Yeah. I actually was thinking about this last night because Jason watched the show You, which is on Netflix, which is really about a stalker guy. And there's definitely a lot of sex in it. And my daughter watched it. Now, she's 18. She's in college. But still, like, some of the sex is
you know, there's woman on woman. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
I tried
on
to
there.
Tell you that before you watched it. And you said, oh, my daughter's in college.
Well, she's in college. What are you going to do? But then I thought, like, I think Cakes' daughter watched it, right?
I think she watched a few episodes with my oldest son.
No, JP, what do you do?
That would be too awkward. I'm sorry, that would be.
She's 16. Like, she's in high school.
I know, but you just don't want to know that they're watching it.
Yeah.
JP, what do you do when...
You're not going to watch it with them. No.
What do you do when that comes on? So, like, for example, you're sitting there watching it with your daughter. What?
I didn't watch it with her.
Get up?
If I was watching it with her, I would just probably remain very silent.
See, the problem is, the problem is with their, you know, on their computers, they're watching stuff in their rooms.
They're watching stuff in their
rooms. You have no idea what they're watching.
I was going to say, I feel like a bad parent or something. I rarely watch TV with my kids if it's not like a sporting event or something.
I've stopped.
Even that's rare.
I've stopped movies when I've watched it with Dylan, who is going to turn 12 tomorrow. Because sometimes there are movies, even a PG-13 sometimes, where everything's fine. Then all of a sudden you'll get like this little sex narrative.
A great
and they're maybe
example,
not going to show it, but.
A great example is Ozark. I was watching that with my whole family before I had to stop doing that in front of my girls. I didn't know what I was getting into. But then later at night, my son and I were watching together, and I was sort of instinctively, I would allow a little bit of the sexual stuff, but once it started getting crazy, I just fast forward that. But the murders and blowing people away, you're right. I didn't, you know, I don't care about that as much. I don't know why it's bizarre. We have a weird.
That seems more fake.
We have a hang-up of sex,
even
I guess.
Even though you could say in those movies, that it's realistic in those movies, it seems more fake, at least in our world.
I just find it so interesting, though. Like, I'll just never forget. I remember interviewing Jamie Lee Curtis and bringing that up to her. I was like, is it weird that my parents covered my eyes for that? And I think, I'm trying to remember her answer.
I think it's pretty standard.
By the way, that's kind of a hot scene.
Which
one? Oh my God.
It's True Lies.
Oh, it's
like
an amazing
body
scene.
Is banging at that point.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Overrated movie, by the way, in my opinion.
I actually like that movie. And I like I thought Tom Arnold stole that movie.
No, you're insane.
Is that
McCarthy.
The one with Tom Arnold?
Yes.
I thought he stole that movie. Yeah, it was really
but it's
good.
A scene where she just does a striptease. She doesn't know that it's her husband, that he's a spy, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the bed. And, and she kind of botches the whole striptease, but her body is on fire there.
Oh, funny story. And this just reminded me of that. Well, first of all, True Lies is like an amazing film. James Cameron was on fire.
You
then.
Also
it was like,
loved WALL-E, which is a big old pile.
It's my favorite Pixar movie, but going back to Cameron, think about Cameron's run. Abyss, Aliens, T1, T2, Titanic. And that's a pretty sick run. But funny story, I was interviewing Jamie Lee Curtis for Halloween last year, and we were talking about, because where we did the interview was actually on the Universal lot, and there was streets named after her parents, Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh. Janet Leigh was the woman who was killed in Psycho, in the shower. That's her mom. So she told me a story about watching True Lies, that scene specifically, sitting next to her dad, and how awkward that was. I can't imagine you're in the scene, and then you have to watch it with your dad right next to you. And like, I saw a story yesterday about like this. I don't watch The Bachelor, but this the show where the guy is a virgin this particular season, and one of the girls he was with, I guess the girl he's with has not kissed anybody before. So they actually have a sequence where they kiss, and she had to watch that entire scene with her parents, and she posted a video of it online. I'm like, why would you watch that with your parents? I think the sexual element of things with your parents is
just
weird.
She was kissing him. She wasn't banging him.
No, I know, but that was her first kiss, wasn't it?
Yes.
Cakes?
Yeah, sadly, I do know that.
Kevin,
did you ever watch? Do you ever watch a video with your parents of you doing the Crush It contest at our spring break parties?
God, no. I mean, that's the thing. It's like that. That's the weird thing. And like, and Eric, you made it. Like, that's funny to me that you had the exact same reaction my parents did. You're like totally cool. All the violence.
No, I think it's very normal. I think it's very.
Yeah.
You don't want your kids like. To be like a sexual being when they're kids, you really don't want, you know, you don't even want to think about it.
You don't want the questions, like all of a sudden, like, what are they doing?
It's very awkward.
Yeah, you just don't want them even thinking about that stuff when they're young.
Why are they wrestling naked?
You know what it is? It's a very uneasy feeling, is what it is.
Jason, have you experienced that, like at watching something in your house and your daughters are there? Like, is that weird?
Of course,
it's gotta be strange.
It's very strange.
It's weird for everyone.
And I end up either turning the TV off or I'll turn it on to another channel.
So what are you going to do with your kids? You're just going to allow them to, you know, watch orgies?
No. And that's the thing. It's like, I want to be able to know when I can show them certain things. Like, I don't know. I think
probably
I probably
like
would.
15 or 16. Like Cake said, his daughter's 16. She's watching you. She's seen it all now.
Yeah, I mean, she's in high school. I mean,
okay, but have you seen you?
I have not.
All right, you watch
maybe
some
I
the,
should reconsider and actually watch
some
it.
Of the scenes in you. I guarantee you're going to say, whoa. Right. You got to pump the brakes on this.
Like I said, I thought about it last night because I saw one of the scenes where there was three people in bed.
Well, remember when I was talking about you originally and JP hadn't seen it yet? And he goes, oh, it's a show for teenagers. It's not a show for teenagers.
Well, because the only people I'd heard, the only people that I knew who were watching it besides you was my daughter, who's 18. And his daughter, who's 16. Those are the only two people I'd heard.
Right, and they
it.
Shouldn't be watching it.
Probably not.
But they do.
Have you guys seen Haunting of Hill House yet?
No.
I saw a little bit of it.
I only mention that because they just cast the girl who plays Nell, Victoria Pedretti, in season 2 of You. Because You was like a Lifetime show, right? And then it moved over to Netflix. But I guess my question
is... Oh, they Netflixed it up, though.
Well, that's my question. Like, did any of this stuff you're referring to ever air on the Lifetime version of the show, or was it the same...
No,
did
they remake the show? There's no chance that the sex was that, you know,
graphic
and graphic.
Yeah.
Did you finish watching the Al Bundy tapes?
Oh, my God, yeah. That is... Jason.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy. Jason, did you finish it?
I finished it.
Here's my question, and this is not spoiling anything because it's real life. Where is Ted Bundy's daughter now? Like, I had no idea.
They didn't really talk about that.
For people who don't know this, when he was in prison, I think he was on death row, he had a baby. Like, this woman would come into the prison, and they would do that.
EB's
and then
favorite
she...
subgenre of porn, conjugal visits.
I want to know where the daughter is. Like, that's unbelievable. Could you imagine being the daughter of Ted Bundy? Like,
I definitely would have changed my name.
Oh, my God.
Her name's Rose Bundy.
That blew my mind when they said that she would go in there. Because the people who aren't aware of, when he went to court, there was one woman who actually stood up for him. I think she took the stand at one point, Jason, right? Like defended him. And, oh, my God, that documentary. And by the way, Jason, you texted me the other day asking me when that Zac Efron. So the director of the documentary for Ted Bundy is the same director as the Zac Efron movie, which is based on Ted Bundy. Netflix just took that movie. So Now it's going to be on Netflix.
Oh, it is.
Probably more closer to award season. I think they're trying to push Efron.
I'm going
to
watch it. By the way, there are some photos of Ted Bundy in that documentary.
Oh,
it looks just like Zac Efron.
Right.
It's scary. Like, it's actually scary.
He's a doppelganger.
He really is. Yeah. So he's going to, if they can recreate like the violence,
There's no chance Ted Bundy was as shredded and as ripped as Zac
no
Efron,
chance.
Though.
No.
I know he was in good shape, but come on.
Jason, I don't know. I'm so late to the party on this, and I'm sure you all have seen it already. Have you guys all seen The Jinx?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God. I just watched that.
It's about Robert Durst. I think that's his name. Yeah.
I don't think I saw
one of them. Oh, Jason, I watched it in one night. It's like 5 episodes. And, Eric, you know what it is, Robert Durst. This story will blow your mind. And the crazy part about that is that
I feel like you're 3 years late on this one.
Yeah,
I know,
you're
but
way late.
Yeah. Eric, he's on trial this year, though, because of the documentary.
Okay.
So they made a movie about it prior to the documentary called All Good Things or All Small Things with Ryan Gosling. Mm-hmm. But it looks interesting.
Blake 182 did a song, too.
I asked my mother, because all the Bundy killings happened in the late 70s, right? I asked my mother, I said, how big of a story was it in the national news? And she said, well, it was a big story, but they didn't know that Bundy was behind them all because back in the 70s, you didn't have DNA testing and you obviously didn't have cell phones that could track cell phone
No, but I
records.
Remember when he was on trial at the very, very end of his life. And when he was, I do remember that. That was nationally.
Vaguely. But when it was all going on, when he was on the run.
No, I don't remember that.
I mean,
Jason,
because
did you think it was
because they didn't know. The cops didn't know that the girls missing in Seattle were the same.
The cops never communicated with each other across state lines.
No, they didn't.
So, like, the California cops never talked to the Colorado cops.
Yeah, or the Florida cops.
Wasn't there a moment in the documentary where he gets captured in Florida and they don't know that they have Ted Bundy? Because there was absolutely no communication or technology to allow that. And one of the things that fascinates me the most about the documentary is I'm watching it and like you're just like blown away by the absolute, like when he goes into the actual confessions towards the end, like it is wicked. Like when he's speaking in the third person, it's one of the scariest things, and the guy was so unassuming. Like you would never believe that guy. Jason, did you think it was a bit of a show? Like how many people were outside the prison, like chanting and drinking beers, like it was a sporting event.
They had tailgate parties before he was executed.
You would think you were watching like a tailgate party at a Redskins game.
I know.
Like,
it was
really weird because, and listen, I mean, there's no defending what that guy did because it's a horrible, horrific thing. But would you ever go out to a jail and tailgate for someone's execution? What a show.
No, but the people were so ricked back then. They just
I get it.
By the way, the thing about Bundy, real quick, the thing about Bundy is, I mean, he should have been institutionalized when he was like 13 years old. He was just wired that way. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't help. That's all he thought about. He was an awful person, obviously, but he couldn't help himself. That's all he thought about. It's like
I felt bad for his mom.
It's like me just putting bets in every day.
Yeah, you gambling. Same sickness, same compulsion.
I mean, he had an addiction to killing girls.
And he never was fulfilled.
We got a minute for your movie reviews.
Real
fast. Lego Movie, which you gave a 4 out of 5, right?
Yeah, and this is Eric Bickle's most anticipated movie of the year. I'm fully aware of that.
Didn't we already do a Lego movie?
Part 2,
yeah.
Ricky?
Well, Eric, I mean, Eric, the whole point here is the first 3 movies made $900 million combined worldwide at the box office. So this is the sequel to the first one, but there's been 2 others in between that were kind of spinoffs, like Batman. Right. But yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's a very solid movie. It didn't blow my mind. It wasn't as fresh and classic as the original Lego movie. It works, and there's great writing, a great end credit sequence. Pratt's amazing. Banks is amazing. I liked it a lot. I wouldn't say that I loved it. I give it a 4 out of 5. What Men Want, Taraji P. Henson's new movie, reimagining of the What Women Want film with Mel Gibson in 2000, which I actually liked. This is fine, positively. Taraji's amazing. R rating is great. Like, so the R-rated material, Pete Davidson's awesome. Josh Brenner's amazing. He plays her assistant. Actually, you guys will probably like this. She's a sports agent in the film, and she's trying to sign this new NBA player and that becomes kind of the whole premise of the movie when she gets the powers to read men's minds, whatever. It's too long. The ending just kept going and going and going. The screenplay's a little weak, but Taraji is so great that she elevates the material, and I give it a 3 out of 5.
You didn't see Cold Pursuit, correct?
Correct, yeah, and I told Drab this. I was supposed to see Cold Pursuit last night, but my screening of What Men Want on Monday, the projector wasn't working, so I had to drive home from Rundle Mills, and then I had to come back out last night to see it.
Pretty
I couldn't see Cold Pursuit.
All right, Kevin, yeah. We'll talk to you next week. That's Kevin McCarthy. You can follow him on Twitter, @KevinMcCarthyTV.
Papa!
JP!
It's a Friday. That means our guy John Feinstein joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf. On and off the course, Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing great.
Hello.
How are
doing
you?
Doing well.
Can't complain.
I can't complain. What in the world is bothering John Feinstein? Nothing?
No.
A laundry list.
There's always something bothering me. I have to give it some thought. Army's lost 3 straight basketball games. That bothers me. I got to see them play tomorrow. A couple people haven't texted me back who I need to hear from soon. So it's minor stuff this week. I have to say, after the Super Bowl, it was interesting how quiet the anti-Patriots people were because – you know, there was no way to say they cheated or, you know, you could say Belichick's a bad guy, Brady's a bad guy, the usual stuff. But it seems like we've finally gotten to the point where people just accept the fact that the Patriots are great and have been great under Belichick and with Brady. And I like that. I think it's time to do that. I know that I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a Jets fan. You guys know that. But I think you have to credit greatness when you see it, and they have been extraordinary.
I wonder if you could put Frank Robertson in perspective for me, because here's interesting, and I hesitate to say this because I didn't know him well, but the few times I did see him, I got to tell you, he was a cantankerous, kind of angry guy. Like I never got a good vibe from him, and I feel bad saying that, but I didn't know him well.
Well, you didn't, you should read Barry Sferluga's column this morning. Because it sort of speaks to what you're saying. I mean, Frank was not a guy who engulfed you with warmth when you first met him. He was often cantankerous. I think that's a good word.
Thank you.
Boz's column this morning was also terrific. Both of them were great. But his place in baseball history, let's separate the two.
For sure.
When he retired, he was 4th on the all-time home run list. before and played most of his career before all the smaller ballparks were built. He was an MVP in both leagues. The year he had in Baltimore in 1966, that's one of the first years where I sort of can remember baseball, and I remember the Orioles sweeping the Dodgers in that World Series and how great Robinson was. And, you know, if you go back through history, people will list the Robinson from Milt Pappas trade is one of the greatest for one team and one of the worst for the other team in history. I didn't deal with him much, but he was always pretty good with me when I did because he loved golf and he loved basketball. And as you probably know, he went to high school with Bill Russell, was a good high school basketball player. So he would sort of, you know, relax a little bit talking basketball and golf with me, and that no doubt helped. But I've told this story before. The very first time one of the very first times I was in his presence was in 1991 at the winter meetings. I was starting the research on my first baseball book, Play Ball, and I was in the Orioles suite. Every team has a suite, and the beat writers will go and talk to the general manager at the end of each day to kind of get updated on what is or is not going on. And I'd gone up with the Oriole beat writers, you know, post-cover the Orioles at that point because the Nationals didn't exist. And I was standing in front of the television, unaware, talking to somebody. And Frank said, "Hey, John, can you move out of the way? I'm trying to watch the game." And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." And as we were walking out, I said to some of the guys, "Wow, I can't believe Frank knew my name. I've only talked to him once or twice." And Mark Maskey says, "He asked me, what's that guy's name standing in front of the television?"
right.
So great that story. Brought me down a few notches. Right. But, yeah, he could certainly be cantankerous, but I think both Boz and Barry made a point that that first year here in D.C., 05, when baseball came back, he managed a team that everybody picked to lose 100 games. And they were 51-30 at the All-Star break. Now, they fell apart after that. But he did an amazing managing job with that team and brought the community. It wasn't so much bringing the Nats to the community as bringing the community to the Nats and baseball. And that I think that was very important.
He's obviously a complicated guy in a different kind of way. But, like, I think Riggins is a complicated guy, right? And I got to know him a little bit better. And so now I kind of understand him a little bit. Maybe you don't know him that well, but I'm just wondering what made him so angry. You know what I mean? Where did that come from?
I think probably some of it goes back to when he was in the minor leagues playing in the South and would have to go check into a YMCA because all the hotels they traveled to were segregated.
Right.
You know, in those days, there just weren't that many African-American players in the minor leagues and in the South. And he went through that. He lived through that. He became very outspoken on civil rights as he got older, which is a good thing. But unless we've experienced something like that, which none of us have,
right?
Let's face it, it's hard to understand what that must be like. And I think he's also a great competitor, and great competitors tend to get angry if you question who they are in any way.
Right.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you about what Sergio did in Saudi Arabia last weekend. Of course, he was DQ'd for damaging the greens and slamming his wedge into this bunker. And I know Tiger would never damage greens, but he would throw the clubs around a little bit. But he always got a pass because he was so great. But Sergio has done this a few times.
Yeah, but intentionally damaging greens is another level.
That's another level. Very
that
embarrassing.
That is another level.
Him.
That's why I got DQ'd.
And then Brooks Koepka, of course, coming out and saying some things about him. So
what did Koepka say in here?
I just said you got to grow up. You know, you're 40.
He said you're 40 years old. It's time to grow up, basically.
What is your take on this?
My first response was surprise that he would do something that blatant. I mean, five greens. I mean, if it happens once, it's inexcusable. But any of us who play golf could see how it might happen. You know, you're having a bad day. He's having a bad week. Right. And you know, so he misses a short putt and all of a sudden he's damaged the green. And usually that shocks you back to reality. Like, what did I just do? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. But he did it four more times, which is why they ultimately DQ'd him. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. I do know this. I wrote a column about it for Golf World, and when I was giving it some thought, I remembered back to the night, and bear with me here for a minute, guys, the night that Maryland won the national championship. Mm-hmm. And I was on the court in Atlanta, and Gary was cutting down the net, and I was talking to Gary's daughter, Kristen, and she said to me, maybe now he can relax a little. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her, I said, "Have you met your father?" because there's no way Gary Williams was ever going to relax. And years later, Gary told me it actually made him more uptight and more intense.
Wanted to do it
again.
He
felt like his team was being scrutinized and he was being scrutinized more closely because they'd been national champions. Right. Sergio won the Masters almost 2 years ago now. And I think initially there was the joyride and the victory march around golf that everybody was happy about because he waited so long to win a major and he got married and became a dad and it was all good. But he's always been a very intense competitor and has had those outbursts you mentioned, Jason, in the past. And I think he missed the cut in all four majors last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did play well in the Ryder Cup. But other than that and a tournament in Spain, he hasn't played very well since winning the Masters, and I suspect it's getting to him. He's frustrated. He feels like more people are watching him and that people are going to start saying, well, he won his Masters and he retired, sort of the way Darren Clark did after he won the British Open, because he did retire. And I know Sergio, and I like him, but I'm not sure I know him well enough, and I'm not a psychiatrist, to understand exactly what's going on with him, but I think that might be some of it.
Yeah, I thought he would have been in a happy place. He got married. I believe he just had a kid.
Well, that's what everybody thought.
Last March, almost a year ago.
But I guess you're right. I guess the pressures of just not making these cuts is really good.
You can't get around it. He's one of these guys, a prodigy, right? Kind of spoiled, had the world at his feet, right? Probably since he was 13, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're spoiled babies.
Well, part of the problem with Sergio in his 20s was because, you know, he at 19, he almost won the PGA. You remember his famous shot at Medina when he changed the ball down the fairway, and played very well in the Ryder Cup that year, which was a harbinger of his Ryder Cup play. But he did become a huge star. He was the next one. He was going to be Tiger's big challenger. And so he did make a lot of money early, and he was treated like a superstar early before he'd won anything that really mattered. And I think that did affect him for a long time. There was a tendency, you know, I'll go count my millions when he didn't win. Then, as he got older, he did become frustrated. I remember walking around with him at the Masters probably 9 or 10 years ago now when he was in contention starting the third round, double bogeyed the first hole, and just went into a snit for the next 17 holes. And he was that way. He was temperamental. And remember, he took a break from golf in 2010 because he was so frustrated. So, yeah, he's had those ups and downs for sure.
All right, have to get your take on the Wizards. It's just sort of fascinating. It's terrible what's happening. I mean, the John Wall story, I feel so bad for the guy, but I mean, that's a game changer. I think it's a game changer for him. He'll never be the same player. I think the team immediately recognized it, and 4 or 5 days after Ted said they're never breaking this thing up, they started to break it up.
Yeah, well, there's no question that Wall injuring that Achilles, and you know, there's a good likelihood he won't play even at all next season. He might come back late in the season. And as you said, with an Achilles injury and a guard whose ability to explode into the lane is his game, you don't know who he will be whenever he does come back. And they're stuck with the max contract. I said to you guys that I didn't think they needed to sign it last year, that they should wait. And not thinking he'd be injured, just because I'm not sure that John Wall ever should have been a Supermax player to begin with. He's a very good player. Supermax player to me should be a very, very exclusive group. But it's done. They have the contract. And, you know, the Porter thing was always, you know, a toss up one way or the other when they signed him to his max deal. And what they're doing here, I was a little disappointed. I don't know if you guys read Candace Buckner's story this morning, but it said that one of the goals for Leontis and thus Grunfeld, once Wall got hurt, was to make a deal that would get them under the luxury tax.
Right.
I mean, who cares about the luxury tax? Ted Leontis is a rich guy. If you want to clear salary cap money so you can try to sign people, that part I get. And, of course, with a Supermax contract, that's difficult to do. But the deal they made, I think, was to get Porter off the payroll, which I understand. And they brought back two guys probably who won't be here next year.
Right.
Parker's been a flameout since he was drafted with the number two pick 5 years ago now. He's been hurt. His offense is okay. He can't guard anybody. His defense is horrible. So you let him go.
He'll fit right in with the Wizards with the horrible defense. Yeah,
He'll fit right in because he won't guard anybody. And the Portis kid, I think, you know, has some potential, but to bring him back next year, they'll have to pay him $20 million. mm-hmm. on a team option, and I don't see them doing that. So basically the trade was to clear cap space eventually by getting Porter off the payroll, and you know they got to almost start from scratch.
Are
They've
you
got
pro
one
tank?
Great player. They
Are you
got
pro
Bradley
tank,
Beal,
John?
That's it. Sorry?
Are you pro tank?
Not tank in a sense of not trying to win, but yeah, I don't mind the idea of trading off players and saying we're going to lose games and end up with a lottery pick. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I think it's become too much of a trend, particularly in baseball. But at this point, you got to be realistic. I mean, if you make the playoffs, the Bucks are going to sweep you. So why not put yourself in the lottery, give yourself an outside chance to move up, and start to rebuild? Because they're rebuilding from scratch. I mean, everybody's saying, "Oh, Thomas Satoransky and Brian." I mean, they're okay, but you need three stars.
Right.
To have a chance to compete for forget making the playoffs. You're supposed to be competing for a championship. You need three real stars. Porter was never going to be that third star, and they needed one of the other stars to be a bigger guy than a guard, and they don't have that. They never had that. Wall is a star. Beal is a star, but they didn't have nearly enough. So now they got to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, how do we build a team where we'll have three stars? And by the way, this all started, let's be honest, when Wall and Marcin Gortat couldn't get along. That's where all this started. That didn't lead to Wall being injured, but it led to them signing Dwight Howard, who was always injured, you know, and Ted's acting like they signed a young Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when they signed Howard. It was always a headache. There was a reason he was with five teams in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And they made some bad moves. And one of them was signing Wall to the Supermax contract. And I agree with you, Eric. I feel bad that he's hurt. I feel bad anybody gets hurt.
Yep. John, part of what really rankled me is when Ernie was asked about the moves. He said, well, we did them to stay competitive. What is he talking about? They're 10 games below 500, and they're allowing nearly 150 points to teams.
Yeah, I would start with the notion of stay. 22-31 is competitive. The only reason they're even, you know, on the outside look of the playoff picture is because the East is so bad after the first five teams. Yeah, I know that's a ridiculous comment. Ridiculous. And if I were a fan of the team, it would make me angry.
Oh, it makes me angry.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
What do you make? I mean, we have Brooks on every other week, and he's just a really genuinely nice guy.
I think he's a good guy and a good coach.
I think he must be a good coach, but I do question that. This team clearly does not respond to him defensively. They just clearly, it's not working. And, you know, I don't know what they should do, but, I it's not working.
No, it's definitely not working, and to me, that's on the players. And it's also on, you know, there's some guys who just aren't good at defense. They try, and they're not good. Yeah. I'm not sure if these guys are trying or not.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. I don't think he's not getting them to try. And
yeah, but I'm not sure if that's on him or if that's on them.
Well, it's obviously
on
them.
It's one of those deals where coaches often get fired because you can't fire a whole team.
Right.
And Scott may lose his job at the end of this season. But the reason they're this bad is not because of Scott Brooks. He was a good hire.
I think so, but they're not responding to him. Like, he can't figure it out. You know what I mean?
Right. Dean Smith, I once asked Dean Smith, what's the key to being a great coach? He said great players. Okay,
right.
It doesn't matter how good a coach you are. If you don't have the right players, or if you don't have players with a good attitude, then you, no matter how good a coach you are, they're not going to win.
He was actually on to something.
I mean, there's a reason Mike Krzyzewski was 38-47 his first 3 years. He didn't have good players.
Understood. He was actually on to something, though, the other night. We argued about it when the backups brought him back from 25, and in the last few seconds there when they had the last ball situation, tie ball game.
He sent a message.
He had Bradley Beal was not on the court. He stayed
right.
with the guys. Now, these guys did not give him the best chance to win, but he stayed with those guys. He needs to do more of that.
Yeah, he does need to do more of that, and he obviously did what he did as much out of frustration as desperation. But there are, you know, again, the fact that they were down 25, that's the story. They're down 25 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are you kidding me?
They're down 25 every game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And then they pop up for one game against a good team. They'll play the Warriors, and they'll play them to the buzzer. That tells you there is talent there.
Exactly.
But they're just not doing their job.
Yeah.
They don't care enough.
Yeah. I think it's gotten to the point where some of these guys, they're too G'd up. Everyone's too comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable is not a good thing in any sport.
Yeah, yeah. All right, John, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, take care. Have a good weekend.
You too.
John Fine.
The Junks are heading down to West Palm Beach for spring training on March 4th and 5th. Thanks again to the Hilton West Palm Beach for hooking us up with unbelievable accommodations. Thanks also to them for taking care of Grant and Danny so they don't have to stay at the Chalk Outline Motel that they were saddled with in their last trip to West Palm. So they're actually staying at the Hilton West Palm in nice accommodations.
Very cool. And they'll be there the same time
they're going before us.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We go down
they're passing the baton to us.
Yeah.
We go down March 3rd.
Their last accommodations were, what's the best word? Unsavory.
Yeah.
Right.
Not very nice.
That can happen in Florida. If you're not careful, you go down one exit.
It certainly can. You know,
it can happen.
Is that, by the way, do we go to the woods that Sunday night when we get down, or we wait until Monday?
I think the talk was doing it Monday.
Because I Monday think these guys the are talking about getting the free dinner at
a hotel. Free is always
I like a free dinner.
When are you doing the Dave Richard deal?
I have to solidify things with Dave first.
He doesn't want to miss the free dinner either.
I'll do free dinner Sunday, and then I'm a free agent Monday.
Is that a real thing, a free dinner? Or is that just last
year? I haven't heard anything
year?
About it this year, but we can certainly find out.
Why don't
either
you initiate?
Way, how about this? Either way, it's going to be free. Because it's either going to be on Hilton West Palm Beach or Entercom. It's
correct.
One of the two. Either
one
or.
Of the two, right. It's not coming out of your pocket.
Or.
Right.
Not
right.
coming out of this one.
Right.
And I'll tell you what. Coming out of that one.
If it's not solidified, we'll go to the woods.
Hey, speaking of pockets, did you ever get the money from Pete?
Pedro did not pay up on his bet.
Pete's the only one who hadn't paid me.
Pete on sports.
There's I don't a, like to
there's
ask
There's a lot
Pete.
Of scuttle behind the scenes that it's hard to get the cash from Pete on sports.
It's a drabby.
Finally happened.
Yeah. Sorry, though. I put up his
Pete's
mic.
Known for broadcasting Navy games and not paying off his bets.
Oh, this is quite an accusation.
Does he owe you money for previous
no,
leagues
just,
or something?
He's been in every league every year and everything we've ever done, and it's always a little bit hard to get cash from him.
Does he ultimately pay? He seems like a man of integrity.
I think people a lot of times just forget about it and move on.
I don't know if he carries a lot of cash around.
So, I don't. I typically don't.
Right, so I don't think he ever carries cash. So
and then no one thinks about it when they go home.
Right.
Right. And no one's thinking about IOs.
You guys are married just like I am. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be a little hard to get to the ATM, especially if you don't have one that doesn't charge you a fee nearby. So if I take money out from an ATM that charges a fee, I get a little from that.
But Pedro,
his wife yells at him if he takes.
But Pedro, it's only it's $10.
I know, Pete. Come on, man, you're a big silly. You're
I always
Pete
pay it off. It's just a matter of being able to get to an ATM that's close by and
Pete,
having
you're
funds
a big
in the
silly.
Bank.
About Pete is that I thought Pete was going to say that this
Pete
was
freaking matters.
I thought Pete was going to get on mic and say this is slanderous. How can he say this?
No, he's blaming his wife.
Pete, go to 7-Eleven, buy a Mountain Dew, and get $10 back.
Yes, and get charged $2.50.
Can you use a debit card?
Get charged a $2.50 fee.
No. What about if you use a I never do this, but don't some people use their debit card and get cash back?
Yes,
all the
you can get
time?
Cash
is that a
back.
Fee?
No, not at the 7-Eleven or at Giant.
I'll do Pedro solid. Yeah. I will lend him money to
classic Cates. He's such a nice guy. He wants to smooth it over. Right. This is what Cates did, I think, in his whole childhood. Right? He always wants it. People are fighting. He wants to make it good. He's such
correct.
A nice guy.
Because he's uncomfortable because he's been made uncomfortable.
He's a good problem solver. I'm solving
no,
the problem.
No, I don't want to do that because that just creates a problem
for
you.
I want to say, Pedro, next time
it's
you
do, $10.
Pedro.
Well, no, it enables.
$10 to the four of you guys is nothing. $10 to a guy like me is
Pete,
a lot.
Stop. You're Pete
oh
Maggers.
So you make like $150,000 a year.
He's
you're
Pete.
Crazy, Lurch.
Hey, got a million
hey
jobs.
Pedro.
I broadcast games of the Patriot League, not for ESPN.
I know, but all of your jobs together, you're making
he's
good money.
Doing fine.
Hey, Pedro, next time you go to Harris Teeter or wherever you go and you use your debit, it
Harris
says
Teeter.
Wherever you go.
One of those where I live.
It'll say, do you want
so
cash back?
So we are building
back?
A Royal Farms. We have a Royal Farms opening up next week.
Their fried chicken's delicious.
Well, he could use his debit card I'm and his wife to, not yell at him.
I'm
right?
about to tell him what to do.
All right.
You go to the grocery store.
Whatever it is.
And
whatever
you slide it through that dumb machine, and it'll say, do you want cash back? And you say, yes. And you get $200 back. There you go.
I can't couldn't do that.
If he does
spend
his debit
$200
card.
At the grocery store?
Why not? You'll have cash.
Or,
and then you can pay off your bets.
If Pedro I spend $200 at the grocery store, there's
look,
no chance.
Let's do a three-way deal. Let's do a three-team trade.
Because I am into Pedro for Girl Scout cookies. I haven't paid him yet.
Shams, Charnia, reporting.
So then I try to use some of the money, and then Pedro subtracts that from what I owe him.
All right,
how does that work?
All right. I mean,
Pete needs to start problem solver.
Pete washing money and getting the secret fund.
Right?
Doesn't everyone have, like, their own cash source?
No.
Hold on. So you have zero cash that's yours.
Zero cash. It's all one big happy account.
I've never heard of that.
What do you mean? That's how most married couples, I think, operate.
Well, wait a minute. You're telling me,
Pete, you're telling me that if you went
stash.
To the ATM and you took out $60, she's going to know and she's going to grill you.
She's going to grill
within
him about
15
the fee.
Seconds of that money coming out of the bank, I would get a text. What did you take $60 out for?
Man,
I couldn't
live in your house.
We might need to do a whole show investigating this.
Pete,
you can't live like that, Pedro.
Pete, you're Pete Medhurst. You're freaking Pete Medhurst.
Yes.
Did you
I'm
tell
a
her
nobody.
That?
Again, I broadcast games of the Patriot League, not ESPN.
You're the voice of the Navy. They're a big silly.
You're a softball umpire.
No, but Pete is a big silly.
You're not helping.
Than
I do as a softball umpire.
That's a joke.
No, but my point is, he has like all these
jobs. He's got a million jobs,
and when you put them all together, he can get $10 out.
No, but his old lady yells at him.
His wife gets better.
That's the problem.
What's your wife's name?
Brenda.
Brenda, she just gets salty.
Brenda grills him.
She's an accountant. She pays all the bills. So if I derail the account by taking a $10 that she hasn't accounted for, that becomes an
issue.
What is Brenda's
profession?
She's an accountant.
She's an accountant. Oh, that's part of
it. All right,
hold on.
She's not going to know if 20
you understand.
Bucks
the big thing is here. She must be giving Pete must be on like a
stipend
or like a what do you give kids?
Yep.
What do you give kids?
Allowance.
Yeah, kids.
No.
He's on allowance.
What do I have? Look, I'm allowed to buy lunch and all that stuff. I don't have an allowance. I'm allowed to buy lunch if I need it out at all the different jobs.
Well, tell Brenda
what do I have to have money in the bank for when I have a debit card? When you have a debit card, you can buy whatever you need. But debit card is not cash.
But that's my point. You can take the cash back and she's not going to know how much the lunch was. Just take the money out of the machine.
Well, she's going to say, why'd you have a $200 lunch?
All right, you don't have to take $200. You can take $60. You can take $40.
She's going to say, what the hell did you eat for $60?
Once you spend $40, she knows my spending habits.
Hey.
So something like that's going to stick out, Jason.
Or you can say this, Pedro. I lost a bet, and I owe Bickle.
Yeah, what if you did that?
Why don't you tell her the truth?
No.
Because you're not a gambler. She knows it's not like you have a gambling
problem. Well, I used to, but not now.
He calls horse racing.
Oh, hold on. You used to have a gambling problem?
Not a gambling problem, but, I mean, I used to bet on horses when I was a lot younger.
Remember, he got Drab Valdez to buy a horse.
That's true. Yeah, he's neck deep in the horse game.
So what would happen if you won the pool, Pete? So,
Is he turn it over to her? No,
yeah.
He keeps that as a Subway fund. Go to Subway.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, it's a two-way street.
It doesn't sound like it is.
But I never win. I rarely ever win. I did split the NFL pool with Bickle last year.
He did.
Right.
He did.
Right. All right. Well, listen. Should I take the $10 from Cakes or should I just...
Is he ever going to
I will bring it to you Monday. I will happily bring it to you Monday since I do have a road game tomorrow, so I'll get some toll money.
There you go.
Oh my God.
You know what? We do very well. We're very well competent.
Yes, you are.
But Pete is crying poor when he has
cries
all
poor,
these jobs.
That's true.
But they don't pay anything, JP.
Okay, but when you add up...
they don't pay anything.
Right, no. When you add up your softball to your government money, to your play-by-play money, to your WJFK money...
It still doesn't add up to 6 months of what you all make.
All right, well, we're big sellers.
It doesn't matter. Pete can make $1 million a year. He doesn't have access to the money.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Drab,
he makes enough.
Capitalizes it perfectly there.
Yes. Well done, Drab.
Exactly. That is true.
Even if you took the money.
Right, so it's not about, so don't cry poor is my point.
Yeah, right. Of
course, we don't know.
That's an easy shtick for him. It's not true.
But Pedro, even if you took the money, you took $60 out of the ATM, and she questions you, what is she going to do?
Jason always goes to that.
What's she gonna do? Divorce you?
I don't live in a silly Van Dyke like you do, Jason.
Van Meter.
A Dick Van Dyke.
Good unintentional zing.
It's a Fitzgerald.
Right.
It's a Larry.
What is she gonna divorce
Fitzgerald home because I'm well compensated because I'm a junkie. Yes.
I thought Pedro was in there. Right. Just to tell her you wanted some cash. I needed some cash.
But I don't need cash. But the logic comes. Why do you need cash when you have a debit card? Because a debit card spends just like cash.
It's the war on cash.
The only time I ever need cash when I got to pay tolls when I'm going on a road trip.
Listen, I'm with you, but still, you should be able to get some money occasionally. You know, without your wife just attacking you.
She just wants extreme justification for the use of the cash.
Pete, though, here's the issue. Cakes, have you paid EB? Yes. Jason, have you paid EB?
Yes.
I've also paid. Drab, have you paid EB?
Yes.
Valdez, have you paid EB?
Yes.
AWOT, have you paid EB?
Yes, and now that I'm talent, I'd like to pay for Pete as well.
Oh, you want to pay for Pete? Big time?
I do have my own weekend show on 106.7 The Fan.
Oh, now.
Can I get one of Chad Duke's pistols, please?
Chad, bring one in. Welcome, Pedro.
Chad, you're in a great pickup truck on your way in. Just bring one inside, please.
Could you? Maybe Pete would sit in with you. Pete, would you ever sit in with Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I'd sit in with
that. Silence anybody. Was deafening there for a second.
I had to get the regurgitation out of my throat. Yeah.
Exactly.
I would never, if someone asked me to sit in, I would be more than happy to sit in. I would never turn down a young broadcaster.
How about this? As a former program director, because you were once a program director.
You could give
director,
them pointers. You could probably.
I've been a program director twice, as a matter of fact.
What would you have done with a talent that can't be stopped, like Adam Epstein?
You know, I mean, I've heard young broadcasters like Adam Epstein, you know, for several years, and just got to hear some more.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So far what he's attempted to do, progress is being made. So
he's got energy. He likes to have fun with it.
Hey, man, anybody can come on the air and yell and scream, rock and roll sports talk, yeah, call me right now. But just don't plant calls, Adam. That's the number one rule. Don't plant calls. Make sure they're natural. Make sure they like you.
Right. Ooh, I love sure the advice. Like
he might not have a chance.
Have you ever planted? Do you even know what he's saying when he says plant
call? Yeah,
don't
have your friend call and say they're, you know, James and Reston.
Right.
Right.
Nice. No, you actually know.
Still doesn't know what a lead in is.
Because that stuff gets figured out. Because that stuff gets figured out when you're talking about one topic and the person calls in and the call screener says, well, we're not talking about that. And then the person says, well, the host told me to call in. Right. So that stuff gets figured out pretty easy.
I had to do that back in college. I had my buddy Don Schick call me all the time.
Don.
And his name was like Bruce from Fruitland.
From Fruitland?
The Arby's right across the street from Salisbury, right, Jason?
That's right.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.